This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
What is going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for listening to the final episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast here in the year 2023. Your host, Kevin Klein, speaking. I'm joined by Jake Reiner, as always, and Dusty Baker has made his return. Welcome back, Dusty. We're excited to have you on the show. Your Los Angeles Dodgers haven't made any big splashes in the last few days, but my goodness, this has still been the best offseason in Los Angeles Dodgers history. Shohei Ohtani, Tyler Glasnow, and of course, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. We're going to dive into his press conference in just a couple minutes, but on another note real quick, I just want to wish everyone a happy new year. I hope that you have fun New Year's plans. It's not my most favorite holiday, if I'm being quite honest. I like to just stay home and kind of hide from people, but I get it. I used to party hard, so I can definitely understand where you're coming from. And on another note, of course, if you didn't watch the live stream, then I want to, of course, wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I hope that Christmas was just awesome for all of you and that you got the gifts, ate the gingerbread man cookies, drink some eggnog, partied with your family, all that good stuff. So why don't we just dive into it right now?
What a day, right? What a day. What an off season. I mean, this has been like Christmas the entire time. It felt like when we were creeping into the winter meetings, there was nothing. There was literally all quiet on the Western front. And it didn't look great at the outset, given all the expectations the Dodgers had. Then we were all misled to believe that Shohei Ohtani was going to the Blue Jays, which never happened. And then once that report was found to be completely erroneous, it was like the floodgates opened and the Dodgers were in business. They get Ohtani, they get Glasnow, they get Yamamoto. And now it's like a stacked roster. Everyone, you're either on two sides of this argument, right? You're either on this is great for baseball and this is great for the Dodgers, or the Dodgers are ruining baseball and this is terrible. So it's a fun place to be, honestly, when you're in the Dodgers camp, just getting to sit up here and look at all the people complaining and crying and coping with all the just the misery that is their team when you look at the Dodgers. So for me, this was brilliant. I had an absolute blast watching both press conferences. But what was cool to see Yamamoto get up there with a prepared statement in English. I just applaud him for even attempting it. And apparently, according to some reporting, he's been learning English a lot. And I think his sister is an English teacher, if I'm not mistaken. So that is just a really, really cool thing to watch to watch. And then his personality is just, it's very radiant, you know, it's very warm and energized. And you kind of just fell in love with him when you watched the press conference. What did you think, Dusty?
Yeah, I think I echo all of that. First of all, that when you have a player that comes overseas, I think a lot of people just assume immediately that they're going to produce, that, you know, it's an easy transition for some reason for a lot of fans. They just kind of assume this and you forget they're people that you know, they may struggle with the language barrier. They may struggle with the little things like even the move, right? Just going to the grocery store, trying to purchase, you know, with a different type of currency. Like, there's things that we don't think about, right? And so for Yamamoto to come over and to make it very clear immediately that he wants to be in LA, that he's going to try to, you know, communicate with the fans to the best of his ability, already doing that. I think, you know, some people were saying these videos that the Dodgers are making of him, like at the Dodgers store and saying like two or three English words. And it's like a sentence that, like, people are like, oh, that's corny. What are you talking about? Like, can you imagine if you were signing a huge contract in a place where you couldn't speak the language, or, you know, you really,
what
maybe.
If, what if you were going to Japan?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly like it's a culture shock, right? So good for him for taking the initiative and for clearly making it something where he's clearly likable, right? Like, we can already, I think, agree that he's a likable player. And to pair him with Shohei Ohtani, it's really awesome because Ohtani has some of these commercials where he's at least a little bit of English he's been speaking. So, you know, I think the two of them maybe collectively together over time will be able to learn the language and just grow closer to teammates. It also helps, I think, when we heard about the names that were thrown out there of trying to recruit Yamamoto, that they were English speakers, right? Players that obviously are Dodger staples and cornerstones that are English speakers, and Yamamoto still felt comfortable enough to be able to come over just as Shohei did. So that speaks volumes to me about the Dodgers organization, about the players involved in the organization, and also that speaks volumes about Ohtani and Yamamoto, that they're willing to be a part of this. So just from a non-baseball standpoint, from a teammate standpoint, team chemistry, I love it. I think it speaks volumes about all these players and could not be more excited. I know some people will look at the years, the contract, and kind of that'll obviously raise a lot of eyebrows. But the reality is you're getting a young kid that's got maturity already clearly on his side. He's got filthy stuff, man. It's so fun to watch his bullpens. I've watched endless video of just his mechanics. He's very sound. He's smooth. He's fluent with obviously how he just is able to, you know, go from point A to point B. And his release is really impressive because it's like a straight up 12-6 is his arm angle. So it's really fun to watch that. Curious to see the breaking ball on a day-to-day basis, because I think he's going to have a filthy curve based off what I've read and seen.
The fact that he was there in 2017, like you mentioned, watching Kenta Maeda on the mound in a playoff game, electric. He ends up taking Kenta Maeda's number anyway, number 18. And to me, that, like, I think we all miss Kenta Maeda a little bit. He was such a fun player to watch, and also just his kind of team player mentality. I know that he didn't want to go to the bullpen, but did so anyway and embraced that role and was a lockdown reliever in that role, and then goes and gets a starting job with the Minnesota Twins. But it just speaks to Yamamoto and Ohtani being team players, especially Ohtani with the way that he deferred his contract. So these guys are not here to become, like, you know, the stars, isolated stars, where they're coming here to collect stats and all that stuff and accolades. These guys are coming here to win. They're coming here to win championships. And say what you want about Dave Roberts, his probably his biggest strength is his ability to get all these players to buy in at once. There's no ego there. You've got guys like Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman already on the team. There's never been an ego with those guys. They're just there to win. They're there to work and win. And the fact that all these superstars are buying into this sort of team first mentality, you couldn't want anything more than that. And especially coming from your very, very high priced talent in Yamamoto and Ohtani.
Yeah. And just kind of to go off of that as well, I think, obviously, there's a history here, right, with the Dodgers in the past of signing international players that have gone on to do great things. We can just start off by talking about Hideo Nomo, right? And so the history of bringing that up and the culture that the Dodgers have cultivated, where obviously at the end of the day, this is a team that values having cultural backgrounds that are different from those that maybe grew up in an area down the street, right? Or there's, weirdly enough, by the way, just because I'm in Kentucky, there are a lot of Kentucky players in the Dodgers organization. We were talking about even before the show. So you have guys that are from out of state maybe, but then you bring in the cultural aspect of Japan and South Korea. It's awesome to see the blend, right? And yeah, having Kenta Maeda on this team, he had some serious, huge starts for this organization down the stretch in the playoffs. He was really crucial. I think that you look at the history, though, of past success of international players, man. And Hyunjin Ryu is another one that I'll bring up as well. Just the talent that we've seen across the board and the influence that these guys have had probably on future generations of Dodgers players and fans, it's significant. So really exciting to have both Ohtani and Yamamoto come through here, because you get that background that it's kind of a tradition that they're building, I feel like. You know, something that I'd love to see is for them to continue to cultivate kind of the Mexican culture as well, if they can find a player. I'm not just saying this, but Randy Rosarena would have been really cool to be able to bring, you know, that face in here. And, you know, obviously the history that we have in that particular side of things would be awesome to kind of build off of too. But this is really impressive, man, what the Dodgers have done. And let's also talk about the fact that their rotation is unreal now. It went from a weakness to arguably one of the strongest rotations in the entire league. So from a baseball standpoint, unbelievable decisions they've made. Bringing Glasnow, we can't forget him because, man, what an addition Glasnow is to this team. And with Yamamoto, you know, now all of a sudden we're talking about you could probably limit Glasnow's innings a little bit during the regular season. You don't necessarily need him to go out there every single five games, because Yamamoto brings you value, he brings you depth, and you know, you got other faces like Bobby Miller, Walker Buehler. When he makes his return, hopefully he'll be able to be limited a little bit, but gives you flexibility as Emmett Sheehan comes up, Landon Knack. The list goes on and on, right? So this is just another huge addition, and reports indicate the Dodgers still may not be done in the rotation side of things. And also they may be looking for a bat, of course, as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, the Clayton Kershaw name is still out there. So we got to keep an eye on that guy, but yeah, they're still looking for a bat too. This front office is not done yet. And I think that even Stan Kasten, who gave an interview to Sportsnet LA yesterday, was saying that Andrew Friedman is basically working as we speak on improving the roster. So super excited. The one other point that I wanted to make about the press conference that I thought was really cool was they had asked Yamamoto what Ohtani's influence was in making his decision to become a Dodger. And while he did credit Ohtani for reaching out to him and kind of spearheading this campaign to bring him over, he said, Yamamoto said that he probably would have ended up with the Dodgers anyway. Right. regardless of where Ohtani went, which is great, because what it means is that he really does want to be here. And Ohtani really does want to be here. They want to be Dodgers. They want to play for this team. And you can't ask for anything more than that.
The cultural shift in the Los Angeles Dodgers clubhouse is about to be monumental. Do you want to know why? Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Tyler Glasnow are perfect examples of players that want to be Los Angeles Dodgers. That's right. The key word here is want. The New York Mets and the New York Yankees did all they could to try to win over Yamamoto, and Yamamoto was just not interested. I mean, you take a look just a couple years ago when the Dodgers traded for Trey Turner, and it's not to say that Trey Turner didn't give it his all. He most certainly was an excellent player for the Dodgers. He was an all-star, one of the best shortstops in baseball, and clearly got paid. But if you remember, Trey Turner didn't want to move to the West Coast. He's an East Coast guy. And you kind of felt like when the going got tough, Trey Turner got a little complacent and caved in. Max Scherzer, another big East Coast guy, came over to the Dodgers, but the moment he was a free agent, he ditched Los Angeles, moved back to the East Coast. Now you take a look back at Yamamoto and Ohtani. These are two guys that are about to be stars and wanted to be Dodgers. So I think what the Dodgers just got is going to be huge. This is a new change in leadership, and what Ohtani is going to bring in the clubhouse along with Yamamoto. These are two guys that are proud to be Los Angeles Dodgers, and I just cannot wait to see what they're going to bring to this ball club for this upcoming season. I am absolutely thrilled what the Dodgers are doing so far, and I'm just honestly super excited.
God, that's going to be such a sweet moment. And think about the moments that are about to occur where Ohtani takes his first at-bat. You have Yamamoto taking the mound for the first time. You get Glasnow, which, okay, I got to tell you a quick story here because it's very bizarre, but Glasnow and I grew up in the same area. In fact, my mom actually, she was a Spanish teacher. She believes she taught Glasnow in her Spanish class. She's not 100% certain. She did teach James Shields. But Glasnow pitched at the same high school as Trevor Bauer. We're not going to talk too much about that. But he did also pitch at the same high school that Robert Van Skoyak, who was my hitting coach and, of course, the Dodgers hitting coach now, he played at, which is very interesting. The whole dynamic is strange. Hart High School is the school in Santa Clarita, California. And so being from Santa Clarita, we knew of Glasnow for a long time. Like, we knew that he was going to be something special. I think that even people from back in my hometown, they're just blown away by how unbelievably effective he is. I have a couple friends that caught bullpens from him recently and told me they've never caught filthier stuff. And they've caught major league talent before too. And they've said that it's just the sharp movement that he has, the slow delivery that then all of a sudden you get the late bite. It's unreal what they've been able to do to reel him in. So really excited to see the moment that Glasnow gets when he gets to pitch in his hometown team, Dodger Stadium, in his home stadium. So that's going to be really special. You get three major moments there. After a time where really, you know, I don't think a lot of people talk about this. The 2020 World Series, obviously you do that during the pandemic, right? You have that, you win the championship in front of a quarter of a crowd in Texas. Dodgers don't even get a parade, right? They don't get a chance to go celebrate in the streets. They don't get a chance to celebrate in front of their fan base. It's almost like, okay, congrats, you won. It's over. On to the next one. And then as things started to return back to normal, people, of course, call it the Mickey Mouse ring, all that. It's almost like they're made fun of for winning a championship. It hasn't been fair to Dodgers fans based off of what's happened of late, of what's happened over the last decade or two decades. The fact that they've had to endure all these brutal postseason losses, and the one that they get, they don't even get to celebrate. So what a special moment and opportunity the fans get to finally actually celebrate something, getting Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Glasnow. And hopefully by the end of the year, they get to celebrate a World Series championship at their home stadium and get the parade they deserved all along.
Apparently, Yamamoto is an awesome javelin thrower. Now, this is something I have no experience in. I'm a little scared, to be honest, but it even goes as far as it looks like the Dodgers might have gifted him a brand new set. But apparently with the javelin throwing, Yamamoto discovered a few years ago that it kind of helps with recovery and limits the pain in his shoulder and elbow after he throws pitches. So just another interesting guy that you're adding to the Dodgers collection. Yamamoto, an elite javelin thrower on top of an elite pitcher.
You're not a javelin thrower, Kevin? I could have sworn that you looked like the type that would throw a javelin from time to time, no? I feel like we're gonna hear about all these like different little quirky things that we've never heard of before. The way that Yamamoto has trained, the way that Ohtani has trained. I'm just so excited for the different stories to come out about this team. When you think about the 2024 season, I saw someone tweet today that it's going to be a movie. It really is. I mean, it's going to be one of the most electric years one way or the other, because either the Dodgers are going to have this incredible season, go to the postseason, win a World Series, or they're going to have an incredible regular season and get punked in the playoffs again. And either way, it's going to be insane. Like, it's going to be a social media meltdown regardless of what happens. So I'm excited, just as anybody would be, to see what happens with this team this year.
Do you guys think, you know, with obviously so much transition, right? You have Ohtani he obviously had to get Tommy John surgery, right? So he's not going to be able to pitch this year. You have Yamamoto shifting over to America and moving to the West Coast. You have Glasnow coming over from the AL East to the NL West. Do you think Dodgers fans deserve to have high expectations on day one that they play? Or do you think that they're going to give them a little bit of breathing room just to make the adjustments? Because I think one thing that concerns me a little bit is the expectation that the moment they take the field, they're expected to pitch and play and hit at the highest level there is, right? The second that happens. And I kind of touched on a little bit the human element, that there is going to be somewhat of a human element for all three of these guys, right? So where is the expectation where, okay, these guys need to perform on day one? Is it day 10? Is it day 20?
Go ahead, Dusty. What'd you say?
No, Jake, that's all you. I completely agree. If Otani's hitting 200 in week two, I'm not worried. Let's just put it
that way. No, I'm not worried either. And I think that expectations of Otani are going to be higher than Yamamoto, let's say, to start, because Otani's been in the league for 6 years. So you kind of expect him to just continue swinging the bat the way we know he can swing the bat. As far as Yamamoto goes, I would give him as much breathing room, as much margin for error as it allows for him to get acclimated to the mound. But honestly, just watching the way he has pitched in Japan, and this is not just like, you know, the best pitcher in Japan, right? And how can we compare the best pitcher in Japan to the best pitcher in the United States? This guy owned Japan. I mean, he was unhittable. In the years
that's for sure.
He pitched in Japan, he has two no hitters, for Christ's sake. I mean, he is by far and away the most dominant pitcher in the country. So, to me, like, I don't think that there's going to be this sort of like, you know, growing pains for him, because he's so good and he's so young and he throws the ball so hard and he has a great mix of pitches that I feel like he's going to come out of the gate hot and he's going to come out of the gate dominant. But if he doesn't, you know, you give him that grace period to try and figure things out. But I agree, Kevin. I mean, you know, not only will Dodgers fans kind of like try to jump ship in the month of April, but you'll see the rest of the league's fans kind of jump on top of them too. With the amount of money that they spent this offseason, there are going to be people that are going to be clowning us from just all walks of life. But you know something? X has a great feature called bookmarks. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. You click the bookmark, and then once the Dodgers take over first place in the NL West, you let the receipts fly. And that's just how it works.
Oh, I already know the reaction that we're going to expect if the Dodgers get off to a slow start in the month of April and finish around 500. There's going to be at least 5% of Dodgers fans out there that act like the sky is falling. They're going to say this. They're going to say that this team is fraudulent. They're going to call out the ownership for overspending for guys like Otani and Yamamoto. There are just people out there that inevitably follow the standings every day. And you don't need to do that in the month of April, because there are so many games in the regular season. A team like the Dodgers have the luxury of easing their way into the season so that they can start to build momentum in the second half. So for the majority of fans, I'm sure they'll be cool, calm, and collective. But for that small 5%, they're going to be the loudest voice you see on social media. They're going to be like, oh, how is this team in first place, whoever it should be? And they're going to act like, yeah, the standings are decided in the month of April, where time after time, you just know a team that is especially experienced like the Dodgers, they know how to figure it out. So I'm going to be calm. I'm not going to be worried at all if they get off to a slow start to begin this. Take a quick timeout right here to talk about TickPick. With the Super Bowl chase just around the corner and you're looking to support your team as they fight for a playoff spot, look no further than to download the TickPick app. There are no service fees at checkout and you'll get the best prices compared to anywhere else on the open market. If you want to get those Dodgers opening day tickets or you're looking to go to a game this season, download the TickPick app because there's no service fees at checkout. All you need to do is download TickPick, search up your favorite event. It's as simple as that. Concerts, basketball, you name it, all on the TickPick app. Again, no fees at checkout. You won't be disappointed.
I would assume based off his track record in Japan, because he can throw 120, 130 pitches comfortably in a game. And I think the biggest thing that differentiates Yamamoto versus regular pitchers these days is they're all pretty dependent on velocity and swing and miss stuff. Versus Yamamoto, it's looking like he's a fair comp to Greg Maddux, where this guy is really, really reliant on accuracy and locating pitches. And so I'm hoping that this plays in Major League Baseball and he doesn't have to be as dependent on gas. Rather, he is just so accurate with his pitches. This allows him to be one of the most durable innings eaters in the game.
Yeah, and his motion, it's almost like he's more of a professional thrower than he is a pitcher. just it's his motion is so simple, and it almost resembles those motions of like the dead ball era, like all the way back, you know, in the beginning of baseball, where guys didn't really have a leg kick and they kind of just stood on the mound and just threw it, you know, reared back and threw the ball. He's kind of got that old school feel to him, which is really cool.
Yeah, watching his bullpen video, like I said before, I watched that on repeat, because you talk about somebody that's mechanically sound. He's like the definition of it. And actually, I love the Greg Maddux comparison, because after just doing some digging and watching highlights from the World Baseball Classic, the main thing Yamamoto seems to have a strength over a lot of other pitchers with is he spots every pitch, right? And he spots it beautifully, whether that be his fastball, his breaking ball. I'm stoked to see what he does with the curveball. Just if he's more of a guy that's willing to want to throw that for a strike, or if it's that filthy that he can throw it anywhere in or out of the zone to the point where he's willing to locate that. It looks like we may have lost Kevin for a second there, but we will keep going until he comes back. At the end of the day, one thing that I am really interested by, whether it be watching Yamamoto pitch, whether it be watching Ohtani make his shift over from the Angels to the Dodgers, I think that watching the rest of this Dodgers team combined with these guys, like the way that they mesh, is something I'm genuinely curious to watch. The team chemistry aspect, you know, like we talk all about a face that comes in, and you can just tell genuinely that Shohei Ohtani is one of these guys that is a genuine soul. Kevin is back. That's also a genuine soul right there. And then you also have Yamamoto, who seems like just the nicest guy in the world, making these videos. Tyler Glasnow, I don't know if you watch or follow him on Instagram. Obviously, I know from childhood, just from the area of hearing stories from other people, that he's a genuinely good person. You're adding three people that are great human beings to that locker room of a Freddie Freeman, a Mookie Betts. You hope that Clayton Kershaw can return and just kind of stabilize that even more. But you've got a team of guys that are wanting to win, and you are adding competitors that are good human beings. And I just think that is something special that I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see day one how that works. Really, really thrilled for that, especially because, you know, the Dodgers, not necessarily over the last few years, but like just recently in the last year or two, maybe, have had the drama of the Urias. They've had the drama of Bauer. It's nice to bring in some faces where you just know on day one that they are going to be solid human beings that should fit in nicely in the clubhouse. And I'm thrilled about that.
I love the idea of having really good human beings on this team, but I really hope that once October comes around, we get some dogs in that clubhouse.
Yeah.
And I think Ohtani kind of coming in and taking over that leadership role from Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, because let's be honest, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman are not your vocal leaders. They're lead by example guys. They're grind it out, you know, get on the field early, work through their swing, all of those things. They're grinders. But Ohtani is a leader, and I'm reminded of the clip of Ohtani speaking to his teammates on Team Japan in the clubhouse,
exact same thing.
Yes. Prior to the championship game of the World Baseball Classic between USA. He was basically like, look, we know they've got Mookie Betts, they got Mike Trout, they got Paul Goldschmidt. Forget all of that. We've got talent in this room to win this game. We're going to go out there and do it. And they did. And the image of Ohtani running from the dugout to the bullpen to warm up to face Mike Trout in that situation, I mean, that is what you want in October. That's what we've been waiting for in October. And I think Yamamoto has that same mentality.
Yeah, I love that point. In fact, I think the words of Ohtani, he said something along the lines of, don't adore them. I think that's how the translation was. And I loved that, because he made it very clear that you can respect the competition on the other side. And the Japanese, obviously known for being very respectful in their play, and obviously, at the end of the games, they bow down to the other team, as far as just they take a bow saying, you know, good game, congrats on the accomplishments they've had. But at the end of the day, that's the winning chip that you need. And I like the point a lot about the dogs, because I think that's what you need. Glasnow, I think something that people don't bring up a lot is Glasnow was also this close to potentially winning a World Series title. And that was just that it happened against the team that he grew up. Right. I mean, it's the fact that he probably has that taste in his mouth of being so close, but no cigar. And now all of a sudden the team that beat him, he has a chance to join him. If you can't beat him, join him. Right. And to win a title with his hometown team, I guarantee you there's nothing that's going to drive him more. And, you know, a lot of these comments, it seems that people are feeling the same way I assume all three of us do, which is we do want to see Kershaw back, right? And you want to see one last go with him here. And I think that would really solidify a chapter of what has been really brutal for the Dodgers, of just kind of that taste of the championship, 2017, the pain of that, 2018, kind of the fallout a little bit, and the Red Sox just being as great as they were. And then the frustrations we've dealt with outside of 2020, right? Even with 2020, this fan base deserves the most right now. And to have these three chips come over, it's going to be so significant, from the on-the-field experience that you get to in the clubhouse, to that winning mentality. They bring it all. And so I can't thank the Dodgers front office enough for actually giving this team a real shot with players that want that shot.
After Clase, they might as well try and get Bieber as well, because you can never have enough starting pitching. But also, that's going to be a haul for those two players. And the Dodgers obviously have the haul to give to Cleveland. But if you're just going after one guy, let's say if it's just Clase, I don't necessarily want to go all in on just one player. If you can get two players out of that deal, giving up a Vargas, a Bush, or Gavin Stone, one of those guys, or a couple of those guys thrown in the trade, then I'm all for it. And I think the question also asked about Bednar and Reynolds of the Pirates. And I'll just say this again about the Pittsburgh Pirates. They always hold the Dodgers hostage for some reason. So their asking price is always going to be through the roof. So I'm very weary with dealing with the Pirates.
Shane Bieber, you know, I've talked a lot about the hometown idea, right? Shane Bieber pitched at UCSB. So obviously you get the California connection right there. On top of that, though, I do have one concern, and it's just simply that you don't want a rotation that's completely full of injury-prone guys of recent injury, right? And so Bieber, of course, was shut down last year due to right elbow inflammation. So that might be my one concern, is just how healthy is Bieber after last year, because the name itself, oh my goodness, you add a Bieber to your rotation, I don't care where you slot him in the rotation, he's filthy when he's on. The question is he good enough to be on, right?
And also, the fact that, you know, we've talked about this a lot too, and we also mentioned Kershaw earlier, but that's an all right-handed rotation if you add a Bieber to this mix. So that's another thing. But the injury part, I think, is the bigger issue than whatever hand he pitches with, because the Dodgers have a lot of injury prone pitchers already. And if we're talking about Kershaw, there's another one. So I don't know. I'd be wary. That's why, like, if you're going to get one of those players, I'd rather get both of them.
Agreed. Makes sense. Real in both. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you're making that move, you know, your primary focus truly is Clase to solidify the back end of that bullpen right there, and you're reeling in a top closer, right? Like, you're not reeling in a decent guy. For those that don't watch the Guardians, which probably are the masses out there, this is a lockdown closer, right? Like, you're talking about an all-star closer who shuts the door time in, time out, and you can basically expect to have a sub 2.5 ERA with this guy. Shane Bieber, filthy stuff when he's on, but he's not your primary guy if you're bringing him in. And you just wonder what that injury still looks like. Right elbow inflammation always scares me just slightly. So and his numbers have dropped off a little bit. But hey, coming back to California to a winning organization, you never know what that'll do for a guy too. So I'm totally on board with the idea behind it. I'm curious to see what the operation as far as players in exchange would be. I think that you may end up having to hear Bush's name, which, you know, at this point, Bush is blocked. So do you part with a guy like Bush? I don't know.
I think you have to sell high on Michael Bush, and he's at the height of his powers right now.
I think the guy that you absolutely, and I don't even know at this point, you can't really even call it selling high. It's basically selling at the point where it's almost the point of no return, is Diego Cartaya. He's a young player, but my goodness, his past season was just atrocious. And when you have Dalton Rushing coming up in the system, somebody's gonna get blocked, right? You already have Will Smith there, and at some point in time,
don't forget about Fiducia too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you just wonder. You wonder if at this point the Dodgers have a surplus. Why not take advantage of that and address an area that is in need, especially if you're trying to go out and win right now? You are not – I needed to make this very clear to people. You are not sacrificing the farm if you're parting with prospects, right? You're not sacrificing it if they're being blocked. You have to find that way where a player that should be called up that doesn't have an opportunity, you can maximize that value. And Dodgers have such a deep system that they can afford to do that. So some people don't like the idea of trading prospects at all. If you're going to get a good player, you have to trade good pieces, right? That's generally how it is. Obviously, the years of the deal, all that, you know, contract, that plays a huge role. But in this case, if you're going to get a Class A, you're not going to trade the 30th prospect in your system and call it a done deal, right? That's just not how this works. So expect that a prospect that, you know, the prospect huggers love, like, and rightfully so, that will probably be on the move. If that trade is executed, I would expect a Bush, maybe a Cartaya, maybe it is a Rushing, I don't know. But somebody's going to be on the move, and people are going to have to accept the fact that if you want a good player, if you want a, you know, a dominant closer, you're going to have to give up pieces.
And unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, we really apologize. We had to cut the episode short right there. The rest of the audio just couldn't be salvaged. But if you want to listen to the entire episode, because there is a lot more content, you can find the full episode over on our YouTube channel, The Incline Dodgers. There we dive into some more depth, talk about more relievers, outfielders, and answer some fun questions as well as play a fun game. But wanted to thank every single one of you for following the Incline Dodgers podcast this year. Season 6 coming up for 2024. Your Los Angeles Dodgers aren't done making moves. Happy New Year, everyone. We'll see you next year in 2024. Go Dodgers.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.